All right, Sean.
Yep.
There's a headline. We're just gonna ride this. We're gonna ride this out for a minute. Okay, hold on. I want to say one thing.
Mm.
And I know I pout about this a lot, and people get tired of hearing it. But for example, y'all know that we've talked about this at nauseam.
Sure.
Like I feel like we have probably talked about this Goon Squad thing at length, anyway, more than anybody else.
Probably more than any other. I guess a radio outlet, I would say, definitely, right?
I mean, we've dedicated multiple full shows to mm-hmm. it. If you follow me on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, you've seen my videos about it. I don't know how much more I can cover this. And I constantly see this stuff online where people who refuse to go look at my pages before they tag me and things saying, Clay, why ain't you talked about this? I did a show the other day, Sean, called What Grinds My Gears.
Yeah.
That grinds my gears. At least take the time to go look on the places, sometimes on the very platform you're tagging me on, crying about I don't talk about something. Now, I know that the people listening to the show are not who I'm talking to. I'm just kind of venting a little bit here. It's mainly Jacksonian Democrats that don't take the time to actually look at the page to see if there's anything on there before they tag me. In pages, crying about it. And I'm going to highlight one specific individual who used to be in media around here. Mr. Jay White is the guilty party this morning. Former radio host, former employee at Mississippi Public Broadcast. A guy who I actually have always liked. Made a collage of Goon Squad stories, news stories, mm-hmm. links. And then just put on top of it, Save Jackson. Insinuating that I ain't seen these things, that I haven't talked about these things. I mean, I've talked about it to the point that there's listeners who think I'm anti-cop. I'm pro-truth.
I mean, I can't, well, you know, I mean, I'll say this on air. How much have we personally talked about this case for months? I mean, I feel like it comes up every day.
Yeah.
And especially when that New York Times stuff was going on in November when we did that. This thing has been, I mean, you're right. I think we've dissected this more than anybody. I mean, Kingfish on written, you know, on his blog has done a really good job, but the local media, they just put an article up, you know, when something happens, but we've talked about, even sometimes when we're having a show and it just comes up and we start talking about it. I mean,
it's like, this to me, I don't like doing the little short form videos on this topic
mm-hmm.
because it's too big of a topic to do a short form video on.
Yeah,
it doesn't play well to short form video because it is layer after layer. It needs to be peeled apart like such.
Sure.
I'm sorry that I can't muster up the energy to make a 60-second snarky video about it because it's not a 60-second snarky topic.
No, it's just, there's really not. I mean, I don't know. That's just stupid. I'm just saying, as much as we've talked about this thing and just gone back and forth on it forever. I know, obviously, it's in the media this week because of the sentencing, so that's why it's being brought up again. And by the way, I mean, I was telling you at the break, we ain't done with this. And not just what's going to potentially happen with Brian Bailey, but there's, you know, from what I think is the worst kept secret in Jackson, that the New York Times has got a series of articles that they're doing that are going to be coming out. I mean, I don't know what they are. I don't know what the subject – I mean, the subject matter is this, but I don't know what the specifics are.
Yeah.
So we're all going to see more of this. This is not the end of it, and I'm sure we'll cover that as well when it happens.
I mean, this is the end of it for now.
Yeah.
Like, today is going to be the last day we talk about this until something else
mm-hmm.
arises. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff to talk about, but I want to give this its due justice.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fair to – shifting gears away from the Goon Squad for a minute, because I did want to hit this today. We got about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
The girl that killed her mom out in Flowood the other day.
Yeah.
Now, since that story came out, and I tiptoed around it the other day because I wasn't 100% sure. I was getting some information, but I wasn't sure. Now I'm all but verifying this. The girl was trans. She was living as a boy.
You're talking about the Oklahoma case?
No. I'm talking about the Flowood case.
Oh, the Flowood case. I'm sorry. I was reading that article last night. That's why I was...
The 14-year-old girl who killed her mom and shot her stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
Name was Carly. She was living as Carl. Her Instagram bio had her pronouns in it. He, him.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Gotcha.
So was kind of living as a, as a, what would that be, a trans man, I guess? And this is just a guess on my end. She looks like she's on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that kind of that autism.
Gotcha.
It all checks out. You're stereotypical. I don't know what it is about kids with autism. They get drawn towards this trans stuff. They get sucked in online and they get radicalized. It's a very sad situation. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that she was probably on some kind of antidepressants. And I put this out there. I said all this in a video. Then lo and behold, if Lives of TikTok doesn't pick it up. And Rolls with the same thing.
Oh, they picked it up?
Well, not me. They picked up the story. And mm-hmm. then, of course, everybody's, oh, Lives of TikTok said it. And I'm like, I said it 2 days prior to Lives of TikTok. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not trying to get into a pissing contest about who called a 14-year-old trans first. But it don't take a rocket scientist to look at this and figure out what's going on here. Okay. Somebody's just got to have the cojones to actually speak the truth and not tiptoe around it because it's a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on. And whether I'm right or wrong, I'm going to get on this antidepressant SSRI stuff. One of our longtime hosts here, Mike Madison, has always been on this. He's done the research. These antidepressants that they're putting these kids on at a younger and younger and younger age, I've got a story Monday I'm going to tell you all about. A couple mothers have reached out to me since I posted my video with their nightmare stories of their kids being put on SSRIs mm-hmm. at a young, young age. One woman woke up to her 15, 16-year-old kid at her bedside with a knife ready to kill her.
Yum.
And she had, the only thing that woke her up is she dropped the knife, and it woke her up.
I'm glad you brought this up. I just watched a whole thing about this recently about how, you know, our society, we've just medicated our brains into this state now of, like, you know, we've got to be in this state of constant joy. Not that I'm a psychologist or anything, but I was...
Yeah, you're never supposed to feel sad anymore.
Yeah, and so immediately it's like, pull out the, you know, antidepressants. And it's got to have some sort of impact. Of course, I'm not an expert in that field, so I don't know how to, you know, mine's all speculation. But
same.
It's kind of like this Ozempic thing to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking something, you know, like this to, like, change your... Whatever it does to reduces your... hunger, is like a diabetes drug, is that correct, or something like that? I mean, and, you know, people are losing all this weight. You got to think there's going to be some health consequences to that. I mean, just my common sense is telling me that there's going to be some health consequences to taking this down the line. And I feel the same way about antidepressants. Like, there's just got to be some health consequences down the line to doing that.
Hey, look, I did it for 3 months. I took it when I was trying to tighten up a little bit, and I felt like it was deteriorating muscle too.
Talking about, you took what now?
The Ozempic stuff.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Like, I took the compounded version of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I felt like it was creating a little no butt at all.
Yeah.
You know, that was just me. You know, everybody's different. But I've seen people who have now been on it for like a year or so. They're skinny, but they don't look healthy.
Yeah, my dad took it for a year, and he finally got off it. And he just said it just made him feel – he lost a bunch of weight. And he's like, it just made him feel really weird. And, you know, he quit taking it. And he's like, one of the reasons he did, he said, I didn't want to drink anymore. And he's like, I didn't like that.
Yeah. Circling back to the SSRI thing, I'm gonna tell y'all some stories Monday. That's probably going to be the lead topic of the show is we're going to dive into this trans autism stuff and – what SSRIs are doing to people. And I think it's time to start holding these doctors accountable for over SSRI. That's your antidepressant medications, for those that aren't sure what SSRIs, your Zolofts of the world, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I think it's time to start looking at these doctors who prescribe this, just like we look at doctors who overprescribe opioids, because we are creating a nation of zombies. And for whatever reason, just through my algorithm, all of this seems to be making people very woke too. Could woke literally be a mind virus caused by SSRIs? Sean, let's take our last break of the day and we'll be right back.